Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
I have entered the first stage of being a grandparent. I know, it's a big day for us. My daughter and my son, they got a dog. So I have a grand dog right now. It's a Cavapoo. If you don't know what a Cavapoo is, it is, I don't know about you. If you have a Cavapoo, my grand dog is way cuter than your Cavapoo. We were walking around downtown. I'm just giving you precursors of what I will be like when that day comes. But we were walking around downtown, and it took 30 minutes to walk, not very far, because this dog is so cute. This dog's name is Winnie. And Winnie caught the attention of everybody in downtown Greenville yesterday. And so, anyway, I just want to let you know that you are now seeing a man in the early stages of grandparenting. I don't know when that's going to be, but nonetheless, Winnie has our heart. I'll just put it that way. So, all right, well, let's get going here. I'm excited to share with you. We're actually going to pick up where we left off last week. And so if you were not able to be here last week, please listen on the podcast. Many people ask me, do you guys have a podcast? The answer is yes. Just Google on the podcast, Studio Greenville, and everything's up there. We usually get it up by Tuesday or Wednesday of every week. And so if you were not here last week, I want to encourage you, try to hop on and listen to last week. It's a little bit of a beginning portion of what we're going to cover today. But I want to pick up where we left off. We took last week to talk about mental scars. We have scars on our body, and it usually is indicative that something happened to us, whether it's accidental or maybe a medical procedure. Either way, a scar is the residue of what once was. Most likely, it was a hole of some sort. And we talked about scars, but what we talked about last week was mental scars. Mental scars, science is actually teaching us that scars actually form in our physical brain, not just our thoughts and our emotions and our spirit, but our physical brain actually can have a residue of scars that actually hinder us from learning. It hinders us from growing, and it hinders us to actually dream and create a future. It actually reduces us down into what we will just call for today a protect mode, a self-preservation mode. And so we talked about that last week, but we didn't end there. We ended with the reality there is this incredible remedy for mental scars. Like, we don't just end there. We know the Bible talks about it, and we know the Bible addresses it, but science is actually showing us that gratitude is the greatest remedy for your mental scars. Being thankful for what's going on, being thankful for things that are worth being thankful for in your life, actually, they say scientifically and biologically, it lays new tissue over your brain. It lays new tissue over the old wounds. So we ended on gratitude last week, and I don't know how many upped their gratitude this past week. Okay, D did. Well, great. apparently, last week's talk was pointless. How many of you increased your gratitude in the last week? Okay. Well, if you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to increase your gratitude. And there are actually different types of gratitude. There's one that's a result of something happening. When something happens to you that's positive, we become thankful. But the type of gratitude we're actually talking about is when there's no reason to give thanks. That's a deeper level of gratitude. And the Bible actually talked about it. So what's beautiful about this talk is science is backing it up what the Bible has said all along. And I think one of the reasons why we find King David in the scriptures, and specifically in the book of Psalms, why he spends so much time giving praise, giving thanks, and being grateful, because he had just a gazillion reasons why he needed to be. It actually kept him mentally sane, actually kept him spiritually in tune, and it kept his emotions in a healthier space. And so if you want to keep your mind in a good space, your emotions in a good space, and keep your physical body in a good space, guess what? Just turn up the gratitude. Be ridiculously grateful for anything in your life. That's my challenge to you. So that's why we kind of ended last week. But what's intriguing about scars is scars kind of, we have choices when we have a scars. Scars is indicative that something happened. But scars is often also indicative that healing took place. And I think sometimes we can get lost in the story of our scars and say, well, this is what happened, and this tragedy or this crisis or this medical procedure, something that happened in the past. And I don't know about you, but we have a scar on our body, and someone says, well, what happened there? And you tell them what happened, this accident or this incident takes place. But I think we need to also add to that, healing took place. Because if healing didn't take place, it would still be a gaping wound, and it wouldn't be pretty. Most likely by that point, infections have set in, and it can get really nasty looking. So I think what's important about scars is, yes, they have a story, but they also reveal healing actually took place. And today, I kind of want to move into that. And we spent specifically most of our time last week in the life of Peter, and we're going to continue in Peter's life. And what's beautiful about Peter, Peter is talked about a lot in the New Testament. And that affords us the ability to actually look at someone's life. When you meet Peter in Luke chapter 5, by the time you get to the end of his life, the New Testament covers almost 30 years of his life. And I think this is important. Sometimes when we read scripture, we don't realize how much time has gone by. And this is just an FYI. From Acts chapter 5 to Acts chapter 10, it's roughly 10 years. It's not 5 weeks. It's not 5 months. It's not even 5 years. Acts 5 to Acts 10 is roughly 10 years. And then when you go from Acts 10 to Acts 15, it's another 10 years. So when you read that 10-chapter stretch there, you're actually covering 20 years of early church history. Some of the earliest church history records are in that, but a 20-year span. The reason I want to highlight this, because I want you to understand that we're going to look at Peter's life some more today. And I want you to realize this is a story, this is a microscope on some level, a broad view on 30 years of Peter's life from Luke 5. Now, when we ended last week in John 21, that was about 3 years of Peter's life. So when you jump into the book of Acts and you start moving and you end up in his books, 1st and 2nd Peter, you're actually talking about 25, 27 years of his life has now passed by. And this is important for us to understand of the journey of life. What's fascinating about when Jesus meets Peter while he's fishing. And what's even fascinating is Peter never caught any fish in the Bible unless Jesus showed up. And that was his profession. That would be like going to a chicken farmer and they don't know how to get their chicken to lay eggs until you show up. And what do you do for a living? I'm a chicken farmer, but yet you can't seem to get eggs out of your chickens. So this is Peter. I'm a fisherman, but he never catches fish in all of the Bible until Jesus showed up. So I don't know how good he was at fishing or not, but one thing we do know, Jesus was a really good thing for Peter. Not just spiritually, emotionally, but in the natural. But we meet Peter in Luke 5, and we know the story. If you're familiar with it, at the end of this interaction of catching no fish, Jesus says, cast your net on the other side. And Peter follows the instructions, and sure enough, an incredible amount of fish comes in, and they come to the shore. But Jesus says these two words, follow me. What's interesting, Jesus might come to your life, but he's actually expecting you to leave your life. This is important to understand, because I think sometimes in our framework, we think, oh, Jesus is being added to my life, and he's going to take residence in my life of how things function up until this point. Now, Jesus does come to you, and that's the beauty of these stories. We see Jesus going to Peter. He goes to Matthew. He goes to all these disciples that we read about. But what's interesting, he doesn't stay in their life. He says, follow me, and then he leaves. And the question is, are they going to follow or are they not? And I think this is important to understand that when Jesus comes to you, when you encounter the presence of God in your life, you should also recognize he's leading you somewhere. He's actually taking you from where you are emotionally, where you are sometimes physically, where you are mentally and spiritually. He's saying, okay, now I'm going to take you to a new place in your life. So encounters with God are never meant to keep you in the same place in the same season of your life. Encounters with Jesus actually, I don't know when it never happened, it's actually meant to take you into the future. And this is what I want you to understand. And this is what we find is so Peter drops his fishing job, probably for good reason too, because he wasn't very good at it, apparently, and he followed Jesus. And so over the course of 3 years, we see this man, this courageous, brave, loud, he was full of zeal, and we follow him through 3 years. And then we ended last week, and we kind of wrapped up part of the week when Peter ended up denying Jesus. What's interesting about that, I want you to look at the first 3 years of Peter's life of following Jesus as Peter 1.0. But in John 21, Jesus meets Peter on the beach after he had been denied, after he'd been betrayed, and he finds Peter again fishing all over again and caught absolutely nothing. And Peter says, Jesus yells from the shore. Peter has no idea. Jesus yells from the shore and said, cast your net again. And when he heard the voice of Jesus, all these fish were brought in, and Peter jumped in the water and swam to shore and had the conversation. This conversation between Jesus and Peter, I believe, is one of the most beautiful redemptive stories in the New Testament. It's not just Peter made things right or Jesus made things right with Peter. You actually hear this conversation where Jesus is redeeming, he's healing, and he's restoring Peter to where he was before. But I want to propose to you, there was Peter 1.0, and then after John 21, we meet Peter 2.0. And this is what I want to talk about today. The same man who denied Jesus in front of a handful of people in the first 3 years, after John 21, became a man that stood up in front of thousands, boldly preaching the message of Jesus. See, what happened when, it's interesting, we think when we follow Jesus, everything is taken care of. No, following Jesus means you're about to find out who you really are and the shadows and the broken parts of you that are in you. Which is interesting, Peter 1.0 was more about reputation and self-preservation. But Peter 2.0 was about surrendering to what Jesus had in mind for him. And I want to tell you something. If you're following Jesus, it's not bringing you more into a surrender to who he is, then most likely you're moving into reputation and self-preservation. And I think that's one of the great challenges of our faith in our context, in our framework, is we think about projecting a better reputation. I'm a man of my word. I don't mess up. I got all my ducks in a row. And we spend our Christian life projecting something that we think impresses people, and we think it impresses God. And Peter learned the lesson the hard way. He learned that when long as he was driven by reputation and self-preservation, and he learned in the first 3 years of following Jesus, that led him to a place to denying the fact that he would even associated with this man that he had given up his entire life. You may give up everything in your life. You may sacrifice all of it. And you may go, you know what? That means I love Jesus. Yes, and there's more to it. Because you will be brought to a point in your life where you'll be more concerned about what people think of you. You see, following Jesus is never meant about impressing the people around you. Following Jesus has been about full surrender to him. And I want you to find your place in Peter's life this morning. I don't know where you're at, and I'm not even going to project what I think, but I want you to resonate with some aspect of Peter's life. Are you more in the Peter 1.0, or are you moving into 2.0? Now, there's a 3.0 and 4.0. I don't think that ever ends, to be honest with you. But I want to resonate with you today is this. Are you more about reputation and self-preservation and an image that people think you're a great follower of Jesus? Now, that's a really tough question to ask. It's a really tough question to ask yourself. And I think if we were all to be somewhat honest, we'd probably go, yeah, I think there's a bit of, I don't want to be known as someone that messes up. I don't want people to have a bad idea about me. I've shared this with you publicly. One of my biggest insecurities in life is being misunderstood. So guess what? Self-preservation is where I go to make sure, oh, I don't want you to ever think X or Y. I want you to always think Z. That is me operating out of my shadow sides, and that's me operating out of my insecurities. And maybe that makes sense to some of you. Others in you, you have different struggles, different parts of your heart that you're navigating. So when I read the story of Peter, I know I would say I've never denied Jesus, but I also know, I don't know if I know the depths of my heart that well enough. But what I do know is that my life needs to continually be a surrender to who he is instead of becoming more caught up in how's my reputation. What do you think of me? Because if that's my drive, then guess what? I know it come to the end of that because we see it in Peter's life. He ended up denying Jesus. He ended up doing all these things that he said he would never do. You see, reputation and self-preservation lead you to a place that none of us want to go. But here's the beautiful part. Jesus meets Peter in that moment, in his shame, met him in that moment. And what I love about this moment in John 21, he meets him on the beach. And, you know, Peter knew he messed up. Can you imagine? It had been about, some scholars say, about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. When you are living in shame for 2 or 3 weeks, it's amazing how dark of a place you can go. And Jesus meets Peter on the beach, cooks him some breakfast, and has this conversation. And I shared this last week, but I wanted to circle it back into where we're going today. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, you know I love you. And it's true. I actually believe Peter knew that Peter loved Jesus. I don't think it was a fault. I don't think it was half-truth. I think genuinely he loved Jesus. Isn't that interesting that you can love Jesus but still deny him? You see, that's the wrestle of the human soul when we're committing ourselves to something. That's the wrestle of what it means to follow Jesus. It's revealing parts of you that need to be healed and redeemed. And then he says it again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, you know I love you. Then a third time, said, Peter, do you love me? And the third time, the Bible says in certain translation, he answered in such a, with emotion. He says, you know I love you. And Jesus gives him an instruction. He said, all right, then feed my sheep. Which is fascinating because all of a sudden, Peter is now moved from 1.0 to 2.0 with forgiveness and a mission. What I want you to understand today is that your scars have a story, but instead of telling people how it happened, why don't you talk about the healing that took place and the mission that God's given you? What you will find is that a lot of the scars in your life will actually determine the future you give your life to. What you will learn, and what I have learned, the scars of my own life have actually become a deeply entwined with my mission, my calling, and my assignment in my life. Did you know that the greatest weapon that was meant to use to destroy you actually becomes your personal weapon of choice? I know for me, I've shared my story publicly in 2018. I went through a mental psychological breakdown. That has become one of my biggest weapons to help people all over the world. That scar, that deeply wounding scar, became my greatest strength to help people work through different mental, psychological, emotional issues. And if I can't help you, I got people that can help you. What's my point? Is that your scars are actually indicating your calling and your assignment in your future. And I think sometimes we get stuck in how it happened instead of going, where's the scar taking me? And today I want to challenge you. Are you scarred? Are you spending more time talking about how the scars happened? The pain that you've lived? The thing that, you know, I'm not asking you to relive your pain, but I am asking you to ask this question. Are my scars now moving me into the story of healing, restoration, and how I can use it to serve other people? Some of the greatest marriage therapists are the ones that had horrible marriages. Why? Because they went to hell and back. Some people with the deep, difficult sexual addictions, as they work through them and come into a healthy place where Jesus meets them on the beach, sort of speak. And they have this moment or this season where they transition from 1.0 to 2.0. They become some of the best people to help other people get set free. And here we see Peter denying Jesus one moment, and not that much later, time later, he is now standing before thousands of people declaring who Jesus is. Talk about a transformation. Talk about a 1.0 to 2.0. And this is what we see in the life of Peter. Just because you believe in God doesn't necessarily mean you're going to change. Just because you say there is a God, it doesn't mean you're actually going to change. Jesus comes to your life, but it's your choice to follow him. And I think sometimes we reduced our relationship down to Jesus to, well, I believe he exists. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he rose from the grave, and we just stopped there. We don't realize that he entered our life, and he's moving somewhere else, and we have to follow him. And in the following, we get the privilege, the responsibility, and opportunity to see the areas of brokenness, the areas of pain in our life that he wants to heal. Not just remedy and mitigate. He wants to take care of. So it becomes the place of strength in your life. And this is what we see in the life of Peter. It is good, isn't it? I'm always encouraged by the life of Peter. I want to show you, I have four slides. If you could put up the first slide. And again, this is to help you if you want to take pictures of this. I wanted to show you four different areas where Peter's failures became his greatest strength. The first one I kind of lightly touched on, but Peter denied Jesus three times out of fear and self-preservation. Look what happened later in his life. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. That's a little bit different than the guy that denied Jesus not that much before this. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. I want you to see this scar, this wounding, actually became Peter's great place of strength and influence. Peter was so influential in the early church, the Catholics consider him the first pope. This man lived the life after John 21 that is one worth celebrating and admiring. He got crucified, and Jesus actually gave him a heads up. You're going to die like me. You're going to be a martyr. And when that day came, many years later, they went to crucify Peter. Legend tells us they crucified him, but Peter said, I can't be crucified like my Christ. I need you to do it upside down. So the story said he got crucified upside down simply because he did not want to die the same way Jesus died. He just couldn't do it. Talk about a changed man. Talk about a man that one moment denied him, and by the end of his life, he said, I can't even die like Jesus. Why? Because he was a changed man. This is what happens when you let Jesus come in your life. This is what happens when you let him heal your scars, heal your wounds. This is what happens. Peter, who once cowered before a servant girl, now boldly teaches believers to stand firm under persecution and honor Christ publicly, the very areas where he once failed. Let's go to the next area. Peter had a bit of impulsiveness and pride. Now today, and I want you to find yourself in one of these areas, and if none of them resonate, that is fine. But I want you to see, whatever your name is, there's a 1.0 version of you, and guess what? There's a 2.0 version of you. So impulsiveness and pride. Peter often spoke or acted without understanding, sometimes resisting Jesus' plans. And I could rattle off a bunch of them right now. But one time he rebuked Jesus for an idea, and Jesus' response was, get behind me, Satan, which basically means you're off. When Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, that means you're completely missed the entire point. That is one instant. Another time, he chopped an ear off of a servant. I mean, Peter just had this impulsiveness and pride. The other moment where Peter's pride got in the way because he thought he was so good. He was a man like, I've got it down. So this is an area Peter had. But Peter, in later teachings in 1 Peter 5:5, it says, close yourself with humility towards one another. Talk about a changed man. And he said, humble yourself under God's almighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. This man who was full of pride and impulsiveness is now teaching the early church. Walk in humility. Put yourself in position. Let God exalt you, but that's not your role. Talk about a 2.0. Let's go to the next slide. Peter had a challenge with watching and praying. Now, I don't blame him. It was late at night, middle of the night. It's hard to pray in the middle of the night. I like praying in the middle of the day. It's much easier. But in Gethsemane, Peter fell asleep when Jesus asked him to keep watch. Look what happened later in his life. He said, be alert. Why do you think he said be alert? Because he failed. He fell asleep. He remembered every time he talked about prayer from that moment on, he said, when you're supposed to pray, be alert. Because I failed. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. So Peter warned the church to be spiritually alert and prayerful, likely recalling the devastating consequences of spiritual drowsiness in his own life. What's my point here? That was a scar, but instead of talking about what happened to create the scar, he talked about what he learned from the scar. And that right there is our best friend, is what happened as a result of your scar. Last one, but definitely not the least, exclusive thinking. Peter initially struggled to accept the Gentiles into the faith fully. This one actually more took place after John 21. Once you get into Acts 2, you get into Acts 5, 10, and chapter 15, you start meeting, Paul actually called them out because Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. And Paul notices this, he called them and said, what are you doing? You're thinking racially, you're thinking segregationally, and you're thinking exclusively. Paul called him out. So you actually get to see Peter's life. Even after John chapter 21, he has to walk out this reality that he had a paradigm of thinking that made him superior to all of humanity. And so you see this play out, and look at what he teaches later in the book of Acts. Now, by the time Acts chapter 10 came, Peter had actually now been exposed that the Holy Spirit is falling on everyone, not just the Jews. So by Acts 10, he says this, well, I guess God did not show favoritism. What's the point? He was struggling with the reality that he was favored by God in a way that put him above other people and other humans. And so God deals with him on this, and then go to the next passage there. You are a chosen people. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. So Peter grew to understand and teach that God's grace was for all people, not just Jews, and another direct reversal of his earlier biases and hesitation. Those are just four areas. There are actually more. But what I want you to connect yourself to today is this, that yes, you follow Jesus. Yes, you've confessed him as your Lord and Savior. But the question is, are you still in 1.0? Are you still about reputation and self-preservation? Or are you actually letting Jesus expose these ways of thinking, these paradigms, these theological frameworks that are just so counterproductive to what Jesus actually wants to see take place in your life? I have a couple more minutes. I want to say this. Peter's life and records are not just theoretical theology. What does that mean? It's not just some theory. We can look at the course of 30 years of his life, and we recognize this man walked it out. He lived the life, and you can see the fruit of his life. The last thing I want to mention on scars, at least for this week, there's a moment in the book of John, chapter 20, where there's a disciple that I think some of us resonate with. His name was Thomas. Now, unfortunately, he's been called the Doubting Thomas because he's the disciple that's famous for doubting that Jesus has risen from the grave, that he had resurrected. And I just think Thomas just represents a lot of us, to be honest with you. And I just think it's unfortunate that we call him Doubting Thomas. But Thomas is like, I don't know. Did this really happen? And what I love is at some point after the resurrection, Jesus shows up to Thomas and he lets Thomas touch his scars. So here's my question to you. Are you letting people around you touch your scars? You know what happened when Jesus let Thomas touch his scars? Thomas believed. Now, we spend more time disappointed, like he should have believed when he heard the news. Right, I probably agree so, but I think there's something powerful and beautiful that Thomas actually needed to touch the scars. And when he touched the scars of Jesus from being crucified, he believed. So I want to challenge you with this. Are you letting people see and touch the scars in your life so they can experience healing, freedom, and the life that Jesus promised? Why don't you stand?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com. And you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.